This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, one of the features today is that I do not have the stopwatch function working because today we're covering a topic that is biblically important and very relevant to this upcoming time called the Days of Fire, a time to seek God's face, to seek God's will, and just to seek Him. And so fasting is very much a part of that. And so we're going to do something a little different. It's going to be a sermon, but it's going to also be a lot like a Bible study. Because as you can see up there, I don't have the text printed. I have a list of the passages that we're going to get to in the teaching time today. And these passages reflect the actual meaning and intention and purpose of fasting. Now, most of the time, we're tempted to think of fasting in negative terms, and it's understandable. Fasting is abstaining from something. It's going without food and drink or some otherwise good gift from God. Perhaps the reason so many of us fast so infrequently is because we think of fasting mainly as what we're going to do without rather than what we're going to receive as a result of the fast. But Christian fasting is not only going without, and it's not simply abstaining. The goal of Christian fasting, in fact, is not going without, but getting. That's kind of strange sounding, because we're always taught to give and all of those things. But our abstaining always serves some greater end and purpose, some eventual gain, not loss. Christian fasting is abstaining for the sake of some specific Christian purpose or biblical purpose, or it is not truly a Christian fast. Jesus did not waffle on the opinion of whether or not his church would fast, because it's as it says in Matthew 6:6-17, and I'll look at the passage for you. Matthew 6:16-17, Jesus said, "Whenever you fast, don't be sad-faced like the hypocrites, for they make their faces unattractive so their fasting is obvious to people. I assure you, they got their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that you don't show your fasting to people, but to your Father who is in heaven or in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." So there's this hint that there's going to be a reward for the fasting. But also, Jesus here follows a very biblical pattern. The commands of Scripture and the expectations of true disciples sometimes are not in the Scriptures as straightforward commands as in, do this. But the other way the Bible teaches us something to do is it's just assumed that we're going to be doing it, as Jesus' statement in Matthew 6 tells us. Whenever you fast, he's rightly coming to the conclusion that that's something we're going to be doing. It's a natural part of our faith life is fasting. They will fast, Jesus said again in Matthew 9:15. And as we see, the early church fasted. Check this out in Acts chapter 13. Verses 1 through 3. In the local church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius the Cyrenian, and Manaen, a close friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Verse 2 is key to this. As they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to do." Then, after they had fasted, which means they were fasting some more after that, and prayed, laid hands on them, they sent them off. Look at what happens here. The church was gathered together, and they were fasting together. And look at the results of that. The will of God was revealed to them. Paul's calling, and with Barnabas, was revealed to them at that time too. So we see that fasting is a normal part of the life of the church if we want to find or discover or uncover or learn the will of God or a call that he may have for us. And it said the Holy Spirit revealed to him, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So if you're trying to discern something, or if we as a church are trying to discern something, we fast together, or at the same time, and we seek God together and we pray. So for 2,000 years, it's been a practice of the church to fast together as a body, seeking the word of God, seeking the will of God, seeking to know God's mind and heart. Now again, fasting is presently very fashionable because there's this one site on Facebook where the ad, you know, when you're in your timeline on Facebook, you go scrolling through, there'll be ads that will pop up. Well, one of those that frequently shows up is intermittent fasting is good for your body. So there's this emphasis in popular culture on fasting as a trend because it helps you lose weight. But when done correctly, fasting can have beneficial physical effects, which is also something that is the Christians can be interested in. But what's the difference between the fashionable, trendy fasting now and Christian fasting? The real difference is a scriptural purpose led by the Holy Spirit, not just spiritual as opposed to not being spiritual or fleshly. Among these things, as one of the benefits of fasting, is strengthening prayer. In Ezra chapter 8, verses 21 through 23, the scribe wrote, "I proclaimed a fast by the Ahava River, so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us, our children, and all our possessions. I did this because I was ashamed to ask the king for infantry and cavalry to protect us from the enemies during the journey, since we had told him, 'The hand of our God is gracious to all who seek him, but his great anger is against all those who abandon him.' So we fasted and pleaded with our God about this, and he granted our request." Ezra called that fast, one, because he told the king, "Hey, now we don't need all the army to go with us because God is going to protect us." So then Ezra's out there in the wilderness. He gets to the banks of the Ahava River and says, "Well, let's do some fasting and ask God for his protection since I just told the king we don't need his army." So they fasted together. And what were they doing? They were praying. They were praying for protection. They were praying for God's anointing upon their endeavor, which Ezra and his crew were going to go back to Jerusalem and start working on the reconstruction of the city and the temple. And God granted the request. Fasting is a part of prayer. Fasting boosts our prayer life. It strengthens our prayer life. And we are able to increase the power and intensity of our prayers as a result of fasting. Now, there's another purpose, and that's Joel chapter 2, verse 12. I believe I have that one up there. "Even now," this is the Lord's declaration, "turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, weeping, and mourning." The command here is fasting for the purpose of seeking God and also of repentance, because Joel 2, 12 through 17 is an awesome passage. It talks about a time of repentance, turning back to God, wanting to return to having fellowship with God, wanting to walk with him more closely. And so fasting is a part of all of these things. And then there's another more powerful meaning for fasting, and that is deliverance. And let's see, 2 Chronicles 20 verses 3 and 4. "Jehoshaphat was afraid, so he resolved to seek the Lord. So he proclaimed a fast for all Judah, who gathered to seek the Lord. They even came from all the cities of Judah to seek him." That's God that they're talking about there. And what was he praying for? He was praying for protection against the enemies of Israel. And so at that moment, he called a fast. And he's the king, But he called for a fast for the people to pray and seek God for his protection and his deliverance from their enemies. And the rest of 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is an awesome passage talking about how, as a result of their fast, God delivered the people of Israel from their enemies. And another reason, a very good reason for fasting, is to be concerned with the ministry that God is doing. Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 3 and 4 says, "And Nehemiah received some people from Judah, and they said to me, 'The survivors in the province who returned from the exile are in great trouble and distress. Jerusalem's wall has been broken down, and its gates have been burned down.' When I heard these words, I sat down and wept. I mourned for a number of days, fasting and praying before the God of heaven." The people had gone back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city and the temple. That at that time was the Lord's work. That was the mission the people were on. They were going to go and they were going to do God's work by restoring the temple in Jerusalem. And so Nehemiah wanted to know what his part in that would be. So he fasted as a means of seeking God in that time, so he would know his part of being a participant in the Lord's work. Now, fasting can strengthen our ability to resist temptation. Matthew 4, 1 through 11 talks about Jesus when he was in the wilderness, going out there being tempted. And as a result, he was fasting and he was able to withstand the temptations the devil was throwing at him. So if we feel at times like we're being tempted to do something wrong or tempted to say something we shouldn't or to be active in something we know is bad for us, fast. Through that, God gives us the strength to resist the temptation. And possibly one of the most notable and most important reasons of all for fasting is just to seek more of the Lord. Luke 2, verse 37 says, "And was a widow for 84 years. She did not leave the temple complex, serving God night and day with fasting and prayer." And that was about Anna, the prophetess, who was able to prophesy some pretty important things about Jesus. She was in the temple seeking God's presence, seeking to know Him more, seeking to walk with Him more deeply, and the fasting was very much a part of her routine in seeking to walk with God more closely. And so for those reasons that we've just covered with Scripture, that's what we're supposed to be about in our 21-day fast in the days of fire. Seeking God, seeking to hear Him, seeking to get close to Him. And yes, even seeking answers to our prayers. Do any of us here have any prayer requests that we've been praying for days, weeks, months, or even years that have not yet been answered? Now's the time. Let's fast together as a body. And let's watch God answer those prayers, because that's one of the purposes we've just covered. Power in our prayers. Answers to our prayers. Because when we fast and we deny ourselves something that we really like or that our flesh really likes, and we deny ourselves that thing, whatever it is, but we take that extra time that we're not devoting to consuming that thing, and while we might be feeling some twitching in the stomach because we're not eating, we skip a meal or we don't eat some of our favorite food and we start hearing those chocolates call to us from that other room, or that ice cream calling to us from the freezer, or whatever it is, we say, no. But that's when we can gain strength from the Lord. Because believe me, when you start feeling those hunger pains, you start getting tempted and start rationalizing all kinds of reasons to stop fasting. Well, Lord, I've got to go to work tomorrow. Lord, I've got to do this. Lord, I've got to do that. I'm going to need the strength to get through the day tomorrow. So I've got to eat. That's when you call on God, because he's going to help you withstand the temptation. But as you yield to him at that time, our spirits are open to hearing from him. And he's going to make the difference in this. He will be the difference in our fast. See, fasting isn't to prove how spiritual we can get. As a matter of fact, Jesus in the first passage we looked at said, don't even let anybody know you're fasting. God who sees you will answer that prayer or will reward you for your fasting. So don't let anybody know. Don't tell them, well, yes, I'm fasting from whatever. Because Jesus said, well, yeah, when you get the applause from people, you just got your answer and you got your reward. So we learn to rely on God in those times. And God will fill that empty spot. God will fill that empty spot that we have vacant because we're denying ourselves hot cocoa or chocolates or pizza or junk food or chips or whatever it is, or one or two meals a day. And he's going to give you the strength to get through that. He will strengthen you to be able to resist the temptation to give in. And believe me, again, when those hunger pains start coming, it is awfully tempting to give in. So fasting is not so we can prove how spiritual we are or even how emotionally strong we are by mentally, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. But rather, saying, God, I can't do this. Please help. Come to my side. And Lord, as I continue to pray, answer these prayers, God. This is the longing of my heart to see these things change, to see unsaved family members come to Christ, to see our neighbors come to Christ, to see our coworkers who are maybe not the most spiritual things in the world come to Christ. It's the longing we have that God will reward because we're setting aside that time for him and trusting in him to get us through. So those are the reasons, at least some of them, for fasting. So as we continue or as we start our fast tomorrow, let's keep all these things in mind. I'm hoping everyone wrote down those scripture passages and go through them again and see what's there and see the fact that it's been normal for those people who follow and love the Lord to fast for 3,000 years. The followers of Yahweh, before Jesus was born, fasted. And then the church has been fasting for 2,000 plus years. So it's normal to fast. So let's begin this time, keeping in mind all that God has for us and wants to do in our lives through this fast. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.